All right. This is a show about a weirdo who is somehow surrounded by even weirder weirdos. We're talking about Tojima Wants to Be a Kamen Rider. Everybody, and welcome back to your new favorite show, The More You Nerd, where it's anime. And oh, you better believe we're double dipping this year, as all of our shows this year also refer not just to anime, but to our tokusatsu favorites. And boy, this one does all of that too. Tojima Wants to Be a Kamen Rider. Now, we do have something we want to talk about before we do that. However, before we can do anything, I have to introduce myself. My name is Drew, and I need my friend who constantly changes into his underwear in the middle of a combat session. Miles, how are you, my friend?
You saw that.
I'm doing great.
Could you not tell by the extremely red cheeks and also tears and sweat that appeared on my face?
No, the red cheeks and like that. If you're a fan of that kind of humor, you are not going to be underserved here.
This show is wild. But I want to talk a little bit about last week's show, The Red Ranger Becomes an Adventurer in Another World. Because Miles and I have done something that we said we were going to do, but we say that a lot. I have something that I wish I had realized last week that I want to say out loud about it. And two, he and I have both finished that show, which is absolutely wild. We're not going to spoil the show. We're not going to do any of that. But just as much as we talked about how good the show was last week of the five episodes that we watched, it just gets better. It really does.
And it gives me so many things that, like, I specifically wanted.
Yeah, and not to mention that we watched it in English, or at least I watched it in English. I'm assuming you did as well. And even if I had watched it in Japanese, I would not have known this, and I wish I had known this before we recorded last week's episode. Apparently, the flashbacks that happened to the other Rangers that he was a teammate of,
the Kizuma Five,
they are all voiced, with the exception of Red, by actual former Super Sentai actors, which is just so freaking
love
cool.
That.
And in the flashback where they go to high school with two of the members of Mega Ranger that you can tell if you paid attention because they're wearing the civilian costumes of the Mega Rangers at the time. Just, it's a great show. It is so much deeper and cooler than even we got to talk about. It really is.
It remains to be funny, even in some of its darker moments. I'm still finding things. I'm like, oh, that's good. And I think the best thing, we touched on this last week, one of my favorite things about this show is this show completely acts like Kizuma 5 is a legitimate seasonal adventure that happened in Super Sentai, refers to certain episodes, and the way they do it, because the world building and the writing is just so tightly done, it works so well, and I never feel like I'm missing out. And in fact, I'm like, I want to see Kizuma 5 now, you know?
Because
especially in the last two episodes, we get a lot of the Kizuma 5 and kind of some more pathos for Red that I'm glad they save until the end of the show, because it mirrors what's going on in a certain way.
And a way that they teased it that we didn't even clock that they had teased that.
I mentioned something, I think, in the episode.
We talked about a person that he had a conversation with. We just got that person wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, great show. Hugely recommend for that.
I mean, especially as someone who loves Super Sentai and Power Rangers as much as I do, and I mean, you don't have to like either, but like, it it threads the needle in such a beautiful way.
Yeah.
And it really does thread the needle, because there are things this show does that without a deft writing hand and a understanding of tone that this show somehow has, it just doesn't work. And which segues perfectly to this week's show.
Yeah. So we
we went from one crazy meta tokusatsu anime to another crazy meta tokusatsu anime.
Yeah. So this week we are talking about Tojima Wants to Be a Kamen Rider. And wow, where to even begin with this show?
So I have to say, I thought I knew what I was getting into.
What? So I have to ask, what did you think you were getting into before we started, or before you started watching?
I thought it was going to be kind of one of these slice of life-y kind of shows where he applies like Kamen Rider stuff to mundane situations.
Yeah, so let's start with that. The log line of this show is that Tanzaburo Tojima was obsessed with Kamen Rider as a kid and chose to spend his entire life training to be Kamen Rider, training to emulate Kamen Rider. This show opens with him fighting a bear, which he wins the fight, but also earns the bear's respect, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But he...
that's how you know it's real.
Yeah. But he is, shortly before the show begins, he has turned 40 years old. So he's at this point decided that he is going to sell all of his Kamen Rider merch on his own terms and sort of realize, you know, sort of try to not necessarily move on, but maybe try to do something slightly different with his life. And as that happens, a number of Yakuza guys start dressing as shocker combatants to rob stores. That is basically the first episode of the show. And all of that is exactly what Miles thought the show was going to be until...
Yeah, until the show becomes what it... Like, it, honestly, even the first episode, like, I did not expect him to actually have strength. Like, I legit thought, like, it would be kind of like maybe like a sales let work or one of those things where, like, while trying to, like, do mundane things, like, I don't know, clean a window or something, it would somehow turn into this, like, Kamen Rider situation. Because certain slice of life animes have done stuff like that.
Like, he needed to use a Rider kick to jumpstart a car or something like that. Like,
yeah, and so I expected to get, like,
which does not happen,
okay,
but you would expect maybe with that idea.
Yeah, exactly,
would.
Something like that. And I was not expecting this show, like, I was expecting this to be kind of like maybe a quirky, I don't want to say Wes Anderson-y, but like just kind of a quirky, like, weird meta show that might kind of break your brain just a little bit.
Yeah.
I was not expecting something that was equal parts. I've got to say, when I read the log line of the show, I really wasn't expecting something kind of on the level of Akiba Ranger. And it's, yeah, and it's literally, it's not just that, it's Akiba Ranger meets Kick-Ass.
Kinda, yeah.
That is literally what this show is. Because there are so many times I'm like, this is like, what is this tone they're getting at? And then I realized, oh, this is Kick-Ass. This is exactly Kick-Ass. And somehow this show, which pulls on some deep cuts in Kamen Rider mythology and pulls on characters that, like, unless you know Kamen Rider, are gonna be like, huh?
Well, and that's
for example, like, the character Tackle is not someone we ever covered.
Yeah,
I did not know who Tackle was.
Now, but that's to, you know, 40-something white guys who didn't grow up watching Kamen Rider. I have a sneaking suspicion.
This is not me criticizing the show.
Yeah, no. But what I love about this show is also when they introduce some of these characters, they take the time to not only introduce the people in the current world that we're looking at, but the references and the characters that they're referring to, including animating scenes from the 70s Kamen Rider show with the audio from the 70s Kamen Rider show.
Legit, some of my favorite stuff in this show.
It's so good.
The recreations of the old Kamen Rider episodes. I'm like, you know what?
But not just that. We are going to spend a lot of time talking about the music in the show eventually.
Oh my god, music's so good.
But this is a show that I think if I had not had any reference point for Kamen Rider, I probably would have liked it. But because we spent so much time with specifically the original Kamen Rider, which is who Tojima is basing most of his life on, I adore it. I think it's so fun.
I will say this. I do think it helps that we did spend some time with Kamen Rider. I will say for the two of us, for you, I don't think it would have mattered if you had seen the show or not.
I know
our love for Japanese tokusatsu. You would have at least gone to see that they were referencing the actual clips and stuff. You would have been thrilled by that. Here's the great thing about it. Does it help to have knowledge about Kamen Rider going to the show? Absolutely. Does it take away anything not knowing that much about Kamen Rider? And I will say no. I don't think it does.
I think an argument could be made, but it's impossible for me to know that because every time a musical cue dropped and I recognized a song, it's like, oh yeah, Kamen Rider!
it is absolutely a show that rewards you for being a Kamen Rider fan. It just doesn't penalize you for not being a Kamen Rider fan.
Yeah. So let's talk about our cast. So we've got Tojima, who is the main character. We talked about him. He wants to be Kamen Rider so much. His whole backstory is so wild and funny because they do a little spin on it where it's back in, I'm presuming the 80s because of how old he is, but it could be the 90s. This is the thing about the show that maybe is the one piece of criticism I'd have about it is that Tojima is maybe too young to be this obsessed with the original Kamen Rider, if that makes sense. He's 40, but like we're 40, you know, and that show was from the 70s and we would have been obsessed with stuff from the 80s. But I think that's probably more the book author's, you know, take coming into it. However, when he is saving the girl from the crosstown school rival thugs and kicks the crap out of them, and then they come back and beat him up, and then he decides to take off his shirt and he has drawn on himself the Kamen Rider transformation belt and
has he drawn it on or has he tattooed it on?
Well, I feel like we haven't seen that. I can't remember if he takes his shirt off later in the show. One of the guys says, is that a tattoo? But I don't know the answer to that question.
The best part is the show tells you that he's a strong guy. So you're kind of getting into the idea. I'm like, okay, he does think he's a comrade, but we know he's not, but like he's still kind of a badass. Until he starts doing the noises of the transformation sequences.
So good. He not only does he do the hidden
It's so good because at first you're thinking, okay, I'm gonna get this kind of cool Kamen Rider themed Fist of the North Star thing, and you're like, no, this guy is a straight up goober.
He is a dork. He is a huge dork that could beat up a bear, but he's still a dork. And when
doesn't change him from being a dork.
And when he does that in front of all these rival high school dudes and the girl that he's trying to rescue from them, and they all start laughing at him, it's just a beautiful, hilarious, sad moment. And of course, then we flash 20 years later to him learning about the Shocker robberies from just watching videos on his phone and seeing that the one just happened right down the street from him. And he's now in a town festival, which maybe his dad abandoned him at one. I didn't really clock whether that was part.
Yeah, I wasn't sure about that either.
I think it felt like his dad abandoned him there. I've watched more of this show because I started watching this show earlier this year. Because this, by the way, is a very recent show.
You watched the first episode when it aired, right? Back in October?
It was very close after it aired. Yeah, I want to say it was 1 or 2 weeks. I mean, the show only, it ran from October 2025 to March of 2026. So this is a very, very new show. But yeah, the Shocker Robbers then attack the festival to steal stuff from the festival booths, and he buys a cheap Kamen Rider mask that they just happen to have. And in my, one of my favorite things about Tojima as a character, he's crying the entire time, not because he's sad, not because he's hurt, but he's so excited that he gets to be Kamen Rider.
Oh, I know.
And beat up Shocker. And it's so freaking great. I love it so much. In this first episode, it's just it's just perfect. And you think that, wow, how could this get any weirder? And boy, does it in episode two.
Yeah. And pretty much continues to get weirder.
Yeah. So our next episode introduces us to our one of our other main characters, whose name is Yuriko. And if you are a Kamen Rider fan, that might mean something to you. But I didn't know this because we didn't watch any of Kamen Rider Stronger. This is where the show gets silly, because we have Tojima, who is obsessed with Kamen Rider, and we also have Yuriko's dad, who is obsessed with Kamen Rider and dresses like the main character of Kamen Rider Stronger, which is his favorite Kamen Rider show, who raises his daughter and names her after the character Electrowave Human Tackle from Kamen Rider Stronger, which was another show. I want to say it was the fourth show.
I don't remember.
Rider, and then there's, well, we'll talk about V3 in a second too. And Yuriko is a school teacher. She's in her mid-20s, and she has a student that is absolutely obsessed with her. She teaches poetry, and she is Tackle. And she is Tackle 2.0, she calls herself. Because she has been raised to be Tackle by her dad, because he wanted his daughter to be strong and independent and all of this stuff. And spoilers for Kamen Rider Stronger, when she accidentally finds the tape of Tackle's death in the show. what a show.
So one of the things I appreciate is it handles being a meta tokusatsu show in a completely different way than Red Ranger Becomes an Adventurer in Another World. Because in Red Ranger, you are getting an actual like meta take on Super Sentai. The show is about a Red Ranger who gets isekai'd into a fantasy world. And so the show does a whole lot to kind of riff at tropes of Super Sentai, but also do really interesting things because of your familiarity with the type of show that it is.
Right.
On the flip side,
but it's also still a show that powers exist, magic exists, like
it takes a Super Sentai show and kind of flips it on its head. This is a lot more, like I said, Kick-Ass, or if you've ever read like the DC graphic novel Superman Secret Identity by Kurt Busiek and Stuart Moman, where in that story DC Comics' Superman exists, and a kid named Clark Kent is basically constantly teased about his actual name until you find out he's got powers. It's actually one of the greatest Superman stories ever written. But it's this idea that like Kamen Rider as a TV show and franchise exists in this universe, and we're going to do something different. And so I love that we can have two historic franchises in the tokusatsu genre, both being tackled in pretty relatively recent anime, because that's the weird thing is
tackled, pun intended.
Stuff, huh?
Tackled, pun intended.
Yes. no. Oh, you made me lose.
I'm so sorry.
God, and for nothing. So you have two shows coming out at relatively the same time in a medium that, weirdly enough, does not cover toku stuff or have things similar to toku stuff very often, which is something that I've been constantly surprised that there is less kaiju and less tokusatsu stuff in anime. Because you think there'd be more.
Oh, but maybe it's just one of those things where they already exist in one form, so why put them in a different form? Like, you know, I'm trying to think of a Western equivalent.
But they make a live-action adaptation of every popular anime that ever comes to Japan. Like,
that's fair.
Like, if you look at, like, the movies that come out in Japan, there's a live-action, like, version of every single anime.
It just doesn't come here. Yeah.
I've always been kind of surprised by that because it seems to fit hand in hand. But with this, taking the kind of kick-ass approach, I think is so interesting because in kind of a shallow pool in terms of tokusatsu anime, you're already doing something vastly different and something that no one else is thinking about doing with the franchise. I mean, because Super Sentai did have Akiba Ranger, and be it, 15 years ago? But, you know, Power Rangers has, you know, every now and then gone meta, but not to the degree that these anime are doing, that they're really dissecting the tropes of the genre. And this one is also talking about adult fandom, the healthiness of adult fandom, taking that fandom too far. And then what if it's okay to take that fandom too far because Shocker does really exist.
Yeah, as we learn at the end of the second episode when Yuriko and Tojima are both, like, Yuriko has a whole, that's the other thing. Yuriko has a whole tackle cosplay that she wears with a helmet and a whole thing. Tojima's just wearing the plastic mask, and it's very funny.
I gotta say, I'm with her on this.
You think you could just be? You think you just be?
I
a
think he
writer?
Should have a costume. I think. Yeah. I think.
Oh, you cut out. You cut out. Do you do know? Because you can't hear you. Sorry. Oh no.
Tells me on my thing.
Oh, but yeah.
I think that he should eventually have a costume.
I can tell you at least as of episode 10. He does not.
I don't think he will have a costume. I'm just saying I think maybe he should.
But what I love about it is even with all of the, like, Henshin, all the noises that he makes, they also include the elastic strap hitting the back of his head as a sound effect when he transforms. And it's maybe my favorite thing in the show. But yes, Yuriko, Tackle, and Kamen Rider Tojima are fighting the Shocker bad guys in a convenience store when another dude appears and he doesn't like what's going on. And what does he do?
Yay!
And transforms into an actual Shocker combatant with superpowers. And the show goes nuts from here. Oh man, how do I even introduce the next character that we meet? Good lord. Because that's the thing, the first four episodes of the show are introducing our main cast. So we have like one focused on Tojima, one focused on Yuriko, and our next one, I love the moment when hate turns to love is the actual translated title of this, where we are introduced to Ichigo. No, it's not Ichigo. It's Mitsuba. Sorry, Mitsuba Shimomura, where he is telling the story of how he and his older brother Ichigo encountered Shocker as children. And my favorite thing about this is that we know his stories are taking a long time to tell. He says that they're going to take a long time, and
says like 6 hours.
Yeah, it's so funny. It's so funny because he's like this very polite blonde, like da 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 guy. And of course, we are also then introduced to his girlfriend Yukarisu, who, boy, this show likes three things, doesn't it, Miles?
It does indeed.
Kamen Rider and two other things. that we Mitsuba tells the whole story about how about the guy that they befriended when they were kids, because he would have a garden and he would give them fruit and it was great. And then it turns out he's a shocker combatant and they're like, what? Shocker. And then they're also not that long after at their grandparents' house, which is when the grandma walks in and she's got V3's face on her apron and they don't ever call it out. It's just right there. It's just so good. Their grandparents are killed by the Bat Monster, which is, have we met Spider Monster at this point? We have, but
we haven't met him as Spider-Man yet.
No, the Yakuza guy sees him with the spider mouth, but the main characters don't see him, I think is how that goes.
Yes, correct.
When they're fighting when they're fighting in the convenience store and the guy's killing people, they're turning into the weird bubbles that happen that, you know, when Kamen Rider bad guys and people get killed in Kamen Rider, it's so good. Anyway, the Bat Monster kills Mitsuba and Ichio's grandparents, and so they both dedicate their lives to finding and fighting Shocker. And this is, of course, before we realize that Yukarisu, Mitsuba's girlfriend, is herself a Shocker combatant in hiding.
Which is honestly great.
it's so good. It's so weird. It's so dumb. But it's so funny.
It's really funny. I'm not gonna lie. Like, everything about this show is like, I will get drawn in and then also be cracking up. And I think that's probably one of the best things I can say about this show.
Yeah. Like, this show is, it's weird. Like, it's deep weird. these people are not healthy. Their obsessions are not healthy. And that is true when we meet the last of our main characters, Ichio, who is, while Tojima is obsessed with the original Kamen Rider and Yuriko is obsessed with Tackle, he is obsessed with V3, the third Kamen Rider, the Kamen Rider that was created by the first two Kamen Riders working together to make V3. He's the best. He's the strongest rider, better than the other two. And again, this is where I want to call out something that I think is one of the coolest things they do, or the most fun things they do on the show. Because, I mean, there's not a lot that's really cool about this show, because a lot of it's just a little sad, but very fun. If you know the characters from the Showa era Kamen Rider, if you know their stances and the way that they do things with their hands, the characters that embody them in this show do a lot of those same things. Like, I'm going to do something for Miles that this move here,
yep,
the arm crossed over, the other arm up in a V because he's V3. Ichio does that a lot. And sometimes it's just like this with a fist. Sometimes it's with just one finger, but he does a lot of that same motion that V3 does, which just goes on to show you how deep in the ocean of fandom these people are.
Which is where the Akiba Ranger really comes in, because the whole kind of elevator pitch of the show is that every ranger, all three rangers, are ostensibly big losers, you know, in the guise of the quote-unquote average viewer. In the same way, when you watch the IT crowd, you're supposed to be kind of siding with Jen. Like, the IT crowd, that even though Moss and Roy are clearly the protagonists of the show, they are the outsiders. They are the butts of the joke. And in a way that was greatly misunderstood by the Big Bang Theory for 14 years in how comedy works, even though that show eventually got some funny writing in there.
In that amount of time, surely something was funny.
Yeah, exactly. It has to happen. But, like, I think that is interesting, is, like, it is, you know, sad to a degree because, yes, these people are disconnected from reality. But the show is also like, but they're not wrong. And so I think that's what keeps the show balanced, because the show could easily become like, all right, this is a sad, sad case. Like, you could have done like some weird kind of way of the house husband Kamen Rider type of thing where like everyone's just running around being ridiculous for no reason. And to find out, at least as far as these five episodes are concerned, I'm like, yeah, you know, the Yakuza guys were, you know, small town crooks pretending to be Shocker, but there's a real Shocker at play who is actually killing people.
Yeah.
And that adds stakes. That adds an interesting element that kind of makes it part of the Kamen Rider conversation as opposed to a conversation about Kamen Rider and fandom. And again, like we said at the top of the show, to thread that needle as well as this show does is frankly impossible, and they nail it.
And that's the other thing that I love, is that while each of these characters that we have encountered has deep understanding and love of their particular character that they're obsessed with, they're also just as knowledgeable about everybody else's characters as the
which as makes the rest it of them. Really fun when they start bickering about the dumbest stuff.
But that's the other thing. When Ichiro in V3 shows up, and I keep calling him V3 because I can't separate the two in my head, he and Tojima face off as Kamen Rider 1 versus V3, and they start to see the Kamen Riders that their opponent is portraying in sort of the aura that they're existing in. And it's just a fun, like, because it's like the power of fandom, you know?
And what's so funny is, like, it's not consistent. Like, the two people involved will absolutely be, like, synced up and having this, like, confrontation. But someone watching them may be like, what are they doing?
Yeah.
They're just making noise.
but these are the two, V3 and Tojima. These are the two that I think are farthest along the path.
Oh, and well, I don't know.
And I say that because I've watched a little bit beyond where we stopped, because you think the show is weird now. Well, we end this show in episode 5 with our Kamen Riders and Tackle, and also Rider Man, who is a whole other character that it turns out Mitsuba is portraying, who is sort of V3's sidekick.
Who goes out, he leaves, and comes back in full costume, and I appreciate that hustle.
He's not in full costume, though. He just has the helmet and the
arm. Oh, that's right, he just has the helmet, yeah.
He just has the helmet and the arm, which is so funny. But they're facing off against the spider monster, the Shocker spider monster. And we end what we watched without the resolution of what happens there. And
Which I'm excited to go and watch. Now, this show is a longer season than Red Ranger. Red Ranger was 12 episodes. This is a full 21, 22?
24, I think.
24. One thing we haven't talked about, we've talked about how great the music is, which it is. It's one, it's choices of Kamen Rider music to remix, and its original music is all exceptional. Really well done. Really sets the tone.
Real high tempo, high energy, just like...
Mm-hmm. It gets you
metal,
pumped up.
Metal guitars with electronica mixed in. It's great.
But I can't say enough about the actual style of the animation. This show looks amazing. It's very, very heavy lines. It reminds me of Redline a little bit in its line work.
I can see that. I can see that, yeah.
It just has this really good, almost like thick street comic book look, and it just sings when you watch it. Like, you feel like you're watching a comic book come to life in the best way possible. Like, this show like completely understood its assignment, but it also just, so far, at least from the five episodes that I watched, is excelling in every possible way. And I'm frankly surprised because, I mean, I think it's safe to say that you're probably a bigger Kamen Rider fan, and I'm the bigger Super Sentai fan. Even we both love both properties.
And you have watched way more Super Sentai than I have watched Kamen Rider, just because there's just not a ton that we can get access to in America.
Assessment.
I think we also
watched plenty of both.
Yeah, I think I love the idea of Kamen Rider more than I've actually seen Kamen Rider shows.
Well, I also think you really like the kind of Showa and Heisei era.
I do.
Specifically. And 74 to like 90.
Yeah, and I have to correct ourselves. Last week we said that Kamen Rider Black was a Heisei era. It wasn't. It was the final Showa era, because the Showa era ended right as that show was airing. So it was made in the Showa era, but airing in the Heisei era.
It is a point of contention in some stuff, because you are right. The Heisei era technically begins in 1989. However, it begins for like Godzilla fans in 84, because the new film like line started with Return of Godzilla and carries over to Godzilla versus Biollante in 89. And then throughout the 90s, that whole thing is a singular run of an ongoing like arc. So that whole thing is considered the Heisei era. So for a lot of Americans who don't have any Japanese history, which I did not growing up, in terms of like who was the emperor in 1980.
Oh, really? You didn't know?
Right? Yeah. We kind of have a bungled education system. Who'd have thought? I just always assumed that the Showa era ended in the 70s because of what I knew of how the Godzilla films were referred. And come to find out in my adulthood, no. 1989 is where it kind of really officially begins. And so, yeah, I think Black would be considered like a straddling show.
It's one of those things where it's part of the Showa era, but it has the vibe of all of the Heisei era stuff that we are more familiar with.
1000% does.
And it has less to do with who the emperor was at the time versus just when the show was made versus when everything else was being made. But that is one thing that I will say about what I know about the show, is that there are no Heisei writers in the show, but there are references to Heisei writers and possibly Heisei writer characters that have yet to appear in the manga or the anime.
I feel like every single one, if someone pops up as Kamen Rider Gaim, they're going to like be so mad.
Maybe. Who knows? That's the thing.
Because they're all Showa guys. I bet they look down on the newer shows.
No one's
mentioned them yet, at least in the five episodes I watched.
Well, and this is the thing that I have to say about the anime versus the manga. So the manga actually started in 2018, which isn't that long ago, but ironically, the most recent issue of the manga, the most recent volume of the manga, literally came out 5 days ago when we're recording this. So
crazy.
So that probably means we're not going to get season two of the show for a while.
You never know.
But you never know. You never know what's going on.
The whole medium is weird. And yes, like I said last week, sometimes you get 10 years to get season two of Devil's a Part-Timer. And sometimes they just make it up, and maybe they'll come back. I mean, look at Fullmetal Alchemist. They just kept making it up. And then when the manga was done, they went back and just did the whole thing again.
So, yeah, this show, I need to go back and finish it. I was halfway through, or not even halfway through, when I got distracted by something else. And I don't know if I'm going to finish it by next week, but I'm going to keep up with this because
I probably won't finish it by next week, but I am absolutely going to keep watching this show.
It's so odd and interesting, and I'm going to say bold. This is a bold show. The artistic choices it makes, the freaking story choices it makes, especially in the early episodes with some of the things that happen. Boy, Yuriko and that student that's a weird whole situation.
It is, but it just kind of seems to happen in anime. quite a bit.
There is a moment.
Not as hilarious. And we can spoil this because that's one of my favorite scenes in the entire show. Not as hilarious when the butler in Red Ranger reveals himself to be a royal demon and why it's trying to resurrect the queen of all demons.
Did I miss that?
He wants to marry his mom.
Oh, that's not the butler. That's a different character.
No, he pretended to be the butler for the king.
Oh, for the king. I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about her butler, and I was getting very confused.
No. Sorry. The butler guy who becomes the royal demon goes on and on about his plan. And is like, and then I'll marry my mother. And everyone's just like,
wait, what?
There's a whole pause. And I was on the floor. I was laughing so hard.
In episode 6, if we had watched episode 6 for the show, we would not have stopped talking about Bond merger.
Oh my God, no. I've been saying that around the house and no one has any idea what I'm talking about. Including my fiance, who was just like, what is happening?
So we're 2 weeks into anime. I don't think we're going to top these two shows for the two of us.
I don't either. Like, I kind of knew both of these shows were going to be special. Because I remember back in October when you watched it, you were raving about this show.
It's just so weird in ways that I like.
and at the same time, I was like, I had already had the seed in my head. I'm like, you know what? Because I had happened to watch the first episode of the Red Ranger show around that time. And I was like, no, I'm safe. I'm not watching more than the first episode because I just fell in love with it immediately. I was like, this is what anime is going to be. Because we had an agreement that we were planning on possibly doing something Toku related. Barring that Pat Labor did not get a streaming release in the month of May. Which it did not.
It didn't.
It did, however, get the original OVA Blu-ray release this summer, but that's not until June. I know you pre-ordered yours. I'm about to pre-order mine. Mostly because I want to have access to it, because you just never know anymore with anime.
I mean,
And it's getting weirder and weirder out there, guys.
That's the thing about a lot of this stuff. Like, if it's old, who knows? If it's new, oh man, it's everywhere. But if it's
sometimes, but even the biggest franchises. Hey, how easy is it for me to get War in the Pocket right now on Blu-ray?
That's old. That's what I'm saying.
It's also one of the biggest franchises in anime.
Look, I know, man. I know. I bought the Blu-ray. I can watch it anytime
I want.
I got
it right here. I mean, I have it. But
I trust me. I get it. 0083, not available. 0080, not available.
No, and I still don't have 00, which thankfully they're not out of print in the UK. And guess who has a region free player?
Well, yeah, but 00 is available on Hulu. You can watch 00 anytime you want.
You know me.
I'm just saying.
It is not about being able to stream it.
But this is what I'm saying about access. This is what I'm saying about this stuff is that if it's new, it's available. Like, you and I have talked, we at some point really wanted to cover Tenchi Muyo for anime.
Oh yeah.
And Tenchi Muyo is just not available.
And at one time it was the biggest anime in the world.
Yeah. Two different Tenchi Muyo shows were airing on Cartoon Network in the United States. You can maybe find out of print Blu-rays used. Or out-of-print DVDs, excuse me, not Blu-rays. Or VHS tapes, even. But you just can't find that stuff anymore. Now, there's more recent Tenchi shows that you can find. Like, War on Geminar, I think, is on Hulu. And, like, the two most recent seasons of the original OVA are on Crunchyroll. But none of the original stuff is. Dominion Tank Police, not available. Which is
that's the same author as Pat Labor, right?
No, it's the same author as freaking Ghost in the Shell.
Ghost in the Shell. Sorry.
Like there's stuff that is just no longer available because either rights have expired or nobody knows who has the rights, or there's just not interest because it's old and who cares. And while if it's an American thing, we have a library of 50 years of Looney Tunes or Disney cartoons, but we have no anime that we can get access to in this country. And that's, and I'm only counting the stuff that's ever been translated or subtitled or dubbed.
And part of that is just the weird state of the industry. And then, you know, conglomerates gobbling up smaller companies. Crunchyroll is becoming worryingly big.
Crunchyroll is owned by Sony now. And again, they bought all the rights to Gundam and immediately stopped producing Gundam physical media, but also have not put more Gundam stuff on streaming. And in fact, the most recent Gundam series that aired on Amazon Prime for some reason.
Yeah.
But I don't know if there was
a physical release for G-Quax.
I don't know if it's in the US because I didn't think about it.
I know there is a Witch for Mercury physical release.
Well, there was a Witch for Mercury physical release for the first season. I don't know if there has been for the second season.
There's for the second one as well.
I haven't picked either up, but anyway, they're both
only available on Crunchyroll.
Of course.
In whatever ridiculous version they put out, just the same with Macross Plus.
Yeah. Which we were promised Frontier and Seven Blu-rays, and those haven't happened either.
Nope.
Anyway, I say all of that to also say that the one thing that it's better for Super Sentai, and we have talked about this when we talked about Super Sentai, and needs to get better for Kamen Rider, is just the access of the original material. In Japan, when the episode where V3 is introduced, with the second episode, it's not V3. When the second episode of Tojima Wants to Be a Kamen Rider aired in Japan, they put the 30th episode of Kamen Rider Stronger, which happens to be the episode where Tackle dies, online. And they left it there until noon of October 27th, 2025. Like that episode aired October 12th of 2025. So they put that one episode online for 2 weeks. Like, why? Why do that? Why not just put it all out there? Like, who cares?
I know. And it's weird because some of this stuff will get, like, I will say it is easier than it's ever been to watch classic Kamen Rider.
But
the original Kamen Rider you can watch pretty much anywhere at this point. I think it's on Tubi.
The original is easy. The first season is easy.
More and more, if not most, of the Showa era shows have a physical release in the States now. Or is getting one.
You know,
V3 has one. Black has one. Black X has one. I think Amazon has one. I don't know about Stronger.
Yeah, that's the thing. There are so many that I have to keep looking because it's like, okay, there's the first two with Hongo and Ichimonji. There's V3. There's Rider Man. There's Rider X. There's Amazon. There's Stronger. There's Sky Rider. There's Super One. There's ZX.
Yeah, Discotech is literally putting out Stronger June 30th of this year. Like, and I mean, for Kamen Rider, yeah, Discotech's going to be your best friend.
Yeah.
Just is.
No, Kamen Rider is not getting a physical release.
for any of the kind of that era of anime and tokusatsu, Discotech's going to be your buddy because like all that old Lupin, all the old Lupin movies and stuff, they're the ones who are continually put out all of that stuff.
Yeah.
And I think they did like Gunsmith Cats and stuff like that. I think they've done a bunch of like classic anime. The stuff you would have might have watched on Retro Crush once upon a time, you can probably buy from Discotech.
Well, that's the reason that a lot of them are even on Retro Crush because of the preservation efforts. But there's still stuff that's missing, and that's a whole other conversation for a whole anime.
I still had to bring up the efforts that Discotech made to make this stuff available in the West. Be like, it's appreciated. I understand it's not everything. I understand V3 and Stronger aren't on any streaming network at the moment, but it's something, you know.
It's like, as much as I love Kamen Rider Black based on the two episodes that we watched, and I bought the Blu-ray. I own the Blu-ray.
I was gonna say, I thought you bought that thing.
Oh, I bought it. I know I could go and put it in a Blu-ray player anytime I want, but
but you won't.
Well, it's not that I won't. It's just that it's not always convenient for when I have the time to watch something like that.
Fair, fair, fair.
Like if I have, you know, 25 minutes in a lunch break, I can throw on something on a streaming service on a computer. I can't do that with Kamen Rider Black. You know? That's my, like, I love physical media. I don't want to be like I hate physical media, because I do love it and I spend money on physical media for stuff that I love. But
he lies.
I just had a cough.
Sorry.
I bought Kamen Rider Black. I bought.
I know you did. I'm teasing you.
I bought Pat Labor that I've never even gotten a chance to see. I bought Macross.
Well, that's because if you don't buy it, you won't get a chance to see it.
Yeah, well, that too. That's the thing. It's like, you know, I missed the opportunity to watch Pat Labor when it was on
for sure, back in the day.
But it's more that there's just stuff that doesn't have any path to release. Who knows where the rights are? And that's so much stuff that was lost in the 80s and 90s anime whirlwind that who knows who has the rights to anything. But because it's old, nobody's spending the time to figure it out.
Right.
So with that, final thoughts on Tojibo Wants to Be Kamen Rider.
I did not expect to love the show as much as I do. But I do love this show. I think it's extremely funny. I think it's extremely pointed. It like Red Ranger, it somehow threads the needle so finely and kind of walks the razor's edge of meta, of being maybe a little pointed, but also being a celebration, also being hilarious and well animated and well scored. Like it somehow takes something that should be a complete mess. And some folks that they look at, I'm like, oh, this sounds like it's gonna be a complete mess. If they watch the trailer or something, but there's no way this is gonna work. And it works so well. And it's one of those shows that constantly has, like, it kind of feels like a Kamen Rider show, because it's constantly having cliffhangers that you want to watch the next episode. Like, it's such an exceptionally woven tapestry of love for this franchise. And I'm absolutely over the moon for this goofy show.
It's with a bunch of weirdos. Like, just a bunch of weirdos. Well, with that said, let's close the door on Tojima Wants to Be a Kamen Rider, at least for now.
For now.
And talk about what we're talking about next week. And while first week of anime, we had a super referential thing to one side of things, second week, a whole different ball of wax with a different reference to different things. This next week is going to be interesting, because it's actually, I think, a direct sequel.
So, it's an adaptation, I believe.
Oh, maybe I'm wrong then. Yeah.
I believe. So, for those of you who don't know, there was a show called Denko Chojin Gridman. That show, during the Power Rangers boom of the mid-90s, early mid-90s, was turned into an American show for Deke Entertainment that you might be more familiar with at home, the Superhuman Samurai Cyber Squad.
Whoa.
Yes.
Whoa.
Featuring not Joey Lawrence, but Matthew Lawrence.
Whoa.
The brother of the previously mentioned Whoa. But yes, this was a show that was put into the States. It had a little bit of a life. I think it lasted one season, but one season of like 53 episodes.
Yeah, I mean, so which would have
probably went on for like a while.
Yeah, which would have been the same thing for the actual Japanese.
Right, it was that old school production style.
But yeah, and this is important that we don't have an Ultraman anime that we're covering this month. But as much as Gridman looks like Ultraman, Gridman is not an Ultraman.
It is not, but is created by Tsuburaya Productions.
Yeah. So, and you, if you put Gridman and Ultraman right next to each other, you might think, oh, Ultraman. No. But, yeah. Looks.
Yeah, and I think when they created him, it was like the first thing they had done in a while, and I'm like, but you made a new Ultraman. You made 90s Ultraman's what you did.
Well, I think to be fair, Miles,
if I recall, there was more internet stuff involved in terms of the theming.
Well, there was it was all computer viruses and stuff like that. And to be fair, Ultraman gets very big. Gridman is very small.
Because he goes into the grid.
Because he goes into the computer and fights computer viruses on your motherboard.
Which I'm also all about. I'm very excited about this. This is a show that I know. I remember when it came out, I was very excited about it. And for whatever reason, I just never got around to watching it. And because it is basically an adaptation, I kind of view this as the first like proper tokusatsu anime we're going to get to watch. Because this is a full-on attempt to capture something, because there had not been, I think, Gridman anything in a while.
Yeah.
Gridman
was 93-94. And this show was 2018.
Yes.
So it was a bit.
Yes. And there is a sequel show as well as a movie, and I love that. Like, I love that it's got its own thing. I love to see that, like, there is a side of this franchise that just lives in anime. And I'm really, really excited to get into Gridman.
Yeah. So how many? You want to do four?
We'll do four episodes. We can call an audible like we did with the last two shows.
Yeah. All right. So that's going to be next week, gang. I believe it's available on Crunchyroll.
It is.
SSSS Gridman. And we will tell you exactly what that means next week. In the meantime, if you would like to find us, you can find us at themoreuner.com, where you can find this and every other episode of our show going back to when Miles still had hair. That's a joke. Miles still has hair now, but he also had hair then. So his hair has remained mostly the same, except slightly grayer. You can also find us on social media, either at The More You Nerd or /TheMoreYouNerd, just about everywhere. And you can email us, themoreyounerd@gmail.com. That's themoreyounerd@gmail.com. You can also find our sister show, Cosmic Crit, where we play tabletop role-playing games, specifically the game Starfinder by Paizo. That's CosmicCrit.com. And if you go to CosmicCrit.com, look in the upper right-hand corner for the link to the Cosmic Crit Discord, where you can join that and play your own tabletop role-playing games, or just talk to me and Miles all day while we are bored at work. So with that said, gang, here it is. We're going to end the show as we always do with a rousing nerd
out. Too nerd for y'all.